How about two or three saints take the lead to pray for our session tonight? Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, thank you we're here tonight.
Amen.
Lord, let's just like our hearts to be wide open.
Amen.
Lord, open our ears.
Amen.
Like to hear.
Amen.
You're speaking.
Amen.
Good word to us.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
We empty ourselves before you.
Amen.
We just like to receive.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. In the year of Jubilee.
Amen.
Oh, thank you for such a proclamation.
Amen.
Thank you for the glorious freedom.
Amen.
We are set free to serve you.
Amen.
To enjoy you.
Amen.
Thank you, you are inheritance.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
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 Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the proclamation.
Amen.
Oh, the year of Jubilee.
Amen.
Freedom has come.
Amen.
Oh, it has come in Christ.
Amen.
Blessed Redeemer.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. The outline that you have, which is the second outline in the packet that you received, entitled simply The Jubilee. This is the one we'll cover this evening. And as we mentioned this morning, this outline comes from the recent training that we had on the book of Leviticus, the crystallization study training on the book of Leviticus. It is message number 10. That's just for your reference. But our intention is not merely to review this message. A number of you probably heard that message. You were either at that training in Anaheim or in your locality. You went through the video training. So our point here is not to either repeat nor even to review, but rather we have some leading from the Lord to use this outline to bring something to you that we feel is very relevant, very present to our situation today, where we are in each of our places. And we do hope that the Lord could personalize this word to each of us. And we believe that the Lord will do this and be speaking this in our hearts as we are speaking here to one another. This matter of the Jubilee, is a very particular thing in the Old Testament history of the children of Israel. And, you know, generally, maybe we'll take one step back first. I think nearly all Bible students realize that the history of the children of Israel, whatever they went through in the Old Testament, is something for the New Testament church. It says so in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verses both 6 and 11, Paul the apostle says that everything that happened in Israel's experience and everything that was written about their experiences in the Old Testament is actually written for us. And it has this phrase in verse 11, 1 Corinthians 10:11, to whom the end of the ages has come. So something happened there that was actual. It was actual. There was an Abraham, an Isaac, and Jacob, and so on. And Jacob became Israel through his encounters with God. God renamed him. And he had the 12 sons that became the 12 tribes, and they multiplied through after the time of Joseph, and they were in bondage in Egypt, and that's the book of Exodus, and they were released through their bondage through Moses and the parting of the Red Sea, the manna in the wilderness. All those things are actual. They actually happened. These are not fairy tales. They actually happened. But those things that in many cases were even physical there, every one of them is a picture and an example and a type for us today. Now, many Bible readers and Bible students, they know that certain things apply to us from the history of Israel. For example, the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb, you know, the night that God judged the Egyptians. And one, the firstborn from every household was slain. Because, that is, if they did not have the blood of the lamb, blood of a lamb sprinkled on their doorpost. That actually happened. And many believers realize this is a picture of Jesus. And when in the Gospel of John in the first chapter, we find such a verse in verse 29. Who says it? I think it's John the Baptist declares, "Behold the Lamb of God." Amen. And that's Jesus. And he is the fulfillment of the type or the picture in the Old Testament of the Passover. And Paul even says in 1 Corinthians 5, "Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed." Then the matter of the crossing of the Red Sea. Most Christians realize this is just a picture of what? Our baptism. And in 1 Corinthians 10, it even says it, that they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So they were baptized to Moses, were baptized to Christ. Right. And also, believers realize that the bread, the manna that came down, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus as our nourishment, as our food. Because Jesus himself came and said, "I'm the bread." Yeah, it was very clear. That's chapters. You don't have to guess that one. Because Jesus said, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. I am the true bread that came down out of heaven. Like, that one's a given. Everybody should understand that. And the water from the rock, you know, it's very interesting. That's a real mysterious, interesting story, that there's a rock, Paul says, a rock that followed them. What is that? Was the rock like levitated? Boom. And then water comes, then we don't know. But Paul said the rock followed them. And then, even more strange, you know what Paul says? You've read this in your Bible. Have you ever questioned? It says, "And the rock was Christ." It doesn't even say the rock was a type of Christ. I don't understand that one. I don't understand. So don't ask me about that one. I do not understand that one. And the rock was Christ. So the point is, there's a link. Their experience, our experience of Christ. So today, we have to eat the bread. We have to enjoy the Lord. Amen. Every day, it's like the manna that comes every day fresh. That shows we should enjoy the Lord every morning.
Amen.
Fresh, right? This is not just a kind of a Christian tradition or legality that Christians should keep. Oh, we should learn from their example in the Old Testament. This is the way to go on in the Christian life. And we should drink. We should drink the living water. But with many believers, that's the extent of the types. But if we're going to take Paul's word that everything of Israel is a picture for us, then you have to take the entire story. And you have to take the part of the story that they entered into the good land. They went into the good land. You know, they wandered in the wilderness. Actually, before wandering, God led them. They went to the edge of the good land. And the Lord wanted to lead them in. And they sent 12 spies. Do you know that story? One from each tribe. Among them were who? These two names. Joshua, Caleb. Yeah. And so they went in and they saw, there are giants in the land. Like tall people. Like actual literal giants. Remember like Goliath? Yeah. People like that. That's another story. That's another message. We're not going to talk about why. But that was there. And so they were afraid. No. They're going to eat us. They're going to eat us. So they didn't have faith. Joshua and Caleb tried. No, the giants will be our bread.
Amen.
We're well able to do it. But the people rose up and they didn't obey God's word. So they wandered for 38 years. Eventually they went in. Moses couldn't go in. Joshua led them in. And they fought battle after battle and conquered the land. What was the first battle? Jericho. Then the next one was a failure. That's very interesting. You know, that shows you a principle. After every victory, be careful. Because after like a spiritual victory, you could become loose. And the next one will be a failure. So always. After a wonderful conference, you enjoy a lot. Oh, be careful. You could have a failure on Sunday night. You could have a failure on Monday if you're not careful. Those are lessons for us. Okay. Anyway, eventually they conquered the land. And in the book of Joshua, they divide the land. And every tribe is given land. And then within every tribe, every family is given land. And then within every family, every household. And they get a portion of land. So that no one was poor. And all of Israel, everyone had an inheritance. And the land was rich with so many things. And there's, in Deuteronomy, we even have a book called The All-Inclusive Christ, which is a development of four verses. Can you imagine? We have a book, just four verses in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And this is developed into a book, talks about all the riches of the good land. And there's water, there's vegetation, there are animals, there's minerals in Israel. No one was poor at a certain point. But in Leviticus, as the Lord is giving presenting how God's people should live, serve, and rejoice. Remember, we said this morning. When you come to Leviticus 25, you come to the verses that we read. And God made this provision that every 50th year would be a jubilee, what is called jubilee. And of course, that from this word is where we get the word jubilant. Like, what's jubilant? Jubilant is, it's maybe you could call it super happy. Like full of joy so that to the measure that it overflows, that's jubilant. This is not jubilant. That's not jubilant. Jubilant is, there's an expression. You almost can't contain yourself. And it's like, bring it up. Nobody here from Philadelphia, right? Philly? Oh, no, I mean living in. Oh, you're in Philly now. You know, there's a football team that you guys have that won the Super Bowl. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, they won the Super Bowl. Oh, I tell you. No, my. My daughter-in-law is an Eagles fan. Yeah. And her family, oh, they've been waiting for this for years. I tell you, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they were jubilant. I wasn't with them, but I saw some pictures and I saw some videos of my daughter-in-law. She, with her sister. They were together, and you can imagine. There was a little even dancing involved. They couldn't contain themselves. That's jubilant. Yeah. When was the last time you had that with the Lord? When was the last time? Or you may say, well, I don't think I ever had. Oh, okay. This message is for you. Yeah. This message is for you. Do you know that being jubilant is our portion? Okay, let's come back to the Jubilee here. Jubilee is very interesting. They had not taken the good land yet. When this is being spoken in Leviticus 25, where are they? They're still at Mount Sinai. And God is telling them, when you go into the land, this and this and this. And God foreknew that what? Even though everyone got a piece of land, some of them would be lazy. Eventually, some would be lazy and not work their land. If you work the land, you would get things out. But some eventually sold their land. They sold their land. Why did they sell their land? It wasn't because the land wasn't productive. It's because someone got lazy. And they got into debt. They got into debt. We heard this fellowship this morning. Don't get into debt. Get out of debt. Get out of debt. But they got into debt. And some of them got so much into debt that they sold not only parts of their land, they sold all of their land. And what was left? Themselves. They sold themselves into slavery. Can you imagine? It didn't start that way. Everyone got an equal portion of land. Not every tribe. The tribes were some bigger, smaller, but the households all got equal portions of land. You know, this is a picture. It says in Colossians chapter 1, giving thanks to the Father, right, who qualified us for the allotted share of the portion of the saints in the light. Why does it use the word allotted? A-L-L-O-T-T-E-D. Allotted. An allotment. We have an allotment. That word allotment, or giving thanks to the Father who qualified you for a share of the allotted portion, that phrase, allotted portion, is an allusion to the Old Testament picture. Everyone got a portion. But just as in Israel, some of them got lazy, in the New Testament church, some of us get lazy. And eventually, we don't reap the enjoyment of the Christ that's in us. And we get what? We get sold into slavery. Slavery to what? Many things. Some believers are in slavery to sin. It's a shame, but it's true. Some believers are enslaved to sin. I know believers that are still enslaved to alcohol. I know believers that are enslaved to cigarettes and other things they smoke. Enslaved. And they're believers. I know believers that are enslaved to their career. In one view, it seems like I'm fulfilling a dream. Actually, you're enslaved to that. I know some that are enslaved to their family. Sorry to say, I know some that are enslaved to their children. And so God made a provision. Every 50th year, seven Sabbaths, because, you know, they would practice according to the law here. You would reap the land for 6 years, and the seventh year the land rested. The land rested. But the Lord would give you in the sixth year enough to cover 2 years. That's wild, but that happened. You'd have double crops. As long as you work the land, it's going to produce under God's blessing. And that happened seven times. And then, after 49 years, there's an extra year. At the beginning of the year, they would bring out these ram's horns. Ram's horns. A ram's horn is a picture of the Lord's victory and redemption. And they would blow this trumpet. Now, you imagine, if you had 25 years ago, you had sold your land. Think about it. 25 years ago, you had sold your land. You knew this provision was coming. You thought it would never come. But it's the day after tomorrow. How would you feel? Wouldn't you be counting down? Because what happens the day after tomorrow? The day after tomorrow, that land is mine again. It's mine. I get it back. Now it's tomorrow. Oh, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. I'm looking at it already. I'm looking at it. Oh, they're going to blow the horn in 3 hours. I'm already like beside myself. Can you imagine the feeling when they, well, I don't know if it was tutu, but anyway, when they blow, imagine they blow, how would you feel? Don't you think there'd be some screaming in there? I think there'd be some screaming. I think there'd be like screaming. Imagine, and then don't you think there'd be some even running? Like, we're going back. I won't do it. It's yours again. That's Jubilee. You're returned. Okay, three things happen. One is you're released from your slavery. You're released from your slavery. Two is you return to your land. And then three, you return to your family. You return to your family. And that's a picture. The picture for us is, it's very possible, even though we have Christ, even though he's our portion, somehow, today, we don't have the enjoyment and experience of that Christ. We have Christ, but we're not enjoying him. Why? We're in bondage to something. But the year of Jubilee was in type here, it was in prophecy in Isaiah 61. And we're going to read that in a moment. And then when Jesus came, he actually announced the fulfillment of this. And as he read Isaiah 61 in a synagogue, we're going to read that in Luke 4. And he announced the fulfillment. From the moment Jesus said that, we have been in the year of Jubilee. Amen. The entire New Testament age is a year of Jubilee. Amen. So brothers and sisters, today, I don't know if you can hear the trumpet blowing. It's still blowing. Amen. It's still blowing. You and I, we do not need to be in bondage. Amen. You and I can enjoy our God-given portion. You, today, right now, can be happy in the Lord. Amen. Okay, let's read a little of the outline. Romans 1. Together. That's what I just mentioned. Sisters, A, please.
In the year of Jubilee, there were two main blessings: the returning of every man to his lost possession and the liberation from slavery.
Amen. Brothers, one.
In the year of Jubilee, everyone who has sold his possession, his allotted portion of the good land, was returned to it without paying anything to redeem it. And everyone who has sold himself into slavery regained his freedom and returned to his family.
There's a point here that we should pay attention to. They returned without paying anything. Saints, to recover Christ as your joy, you don't have to pay anything.
Amen.
You really don't have to do anything. You just have to believe.
Amen.
And respond.
Amen.
To the trumpet sounding.
Amen.
You just have to say, amen. Amen. Lord, I don't want to stay in slavery.
Amen.
I come to you.
Amen.
And I come into the church life.
Amen.
Saints, I believe some of us, we're in practicing the church life, like we go to meetings and even serve and even go to sometimes homes for group meetings, all in bondage. We practice, but we're actually still in bondage. Why? I could tell because you're not that happy sometimes. The faces still are too long. Faces should be round. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to get anyone to not be who you are and to put on something in front of the saints. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be a hypocrite. You know what a hypocrite is in the Bible? In a hypocrite, you know, this word hypocrite is a compound word. It's something like hupokrito, something like this. And this has to do with theater in the Roman times, when they did theater. And they would perform, and they would have a mask. And the mask, of course, the mask could have a smile, but behind it, I'm... I'm having a bad day. But the mask is... And not only so, these masks sometimes had a mechanism to project voice. So if I say, "Hello, Fabrice," it would come out as, "Hello, Fabrice," because they didn't have microphones. So it had a little something. I don't know how, but had that. So it could be somebody very weak, small, saying, "Hello, Fabrice." But it would come out, "Hello, Fabrice." That's a hypocrite. It means a mask. So don't have meeting masks. In the meeting, amen. You know how many saints don't say hello. They go, "Amen." And we answer, "Praise the Lord." You go, "Praise the Lord." We go, "Amen." But inside, there's no real amen. There's no real "praise the Lord." I knew of a brother, elderly brother, very experienced, in Los Angeles. He refused to do that. You say, "Praise the Lord, brother." He'd say, "Hello." Very human. He wouldn't go along with that kind of a churchy lingo. You know, if you really mean "praise the Lord," you know, some brothers, like Brother Max. Most of you know Brother Max. Yeah, when Brother Max says, "Praise the Lord," I tell you, it's a "praise the Lord." You got to say, "Amen." It's not like "praise the Lord, praise the Lord." You go, "Amen, amen, amen." Meeting mask. I hope you don't have a church life in bondage. That would be sad. What are we up to? Sorry. Two. Sisters, two. Amen. Brothers, be.
In the Old Testament type, the Jubilee lasted for 1 year, but in the fulfillment it refers to the entire New Testament age, the age of grace, at the time when God accepts the returned captives of sin, and when those oppressed under the bondage of sin enjoy the release of God's salvation.
This impressed me afresh this week. The entire New Testament age, the age of grace, should be a year of jubilee. You know, jubilee in that time, in the Old Testament time, was a year. A year. Sometimes we maybe go to a conference or a training. We do get refreshed, get a little energized. We feel, "Amen, I can go on again." It lasts about 3 days. If effective, sometimes 3 weeks. But it seems like always we revert back. We don't have always extended, normal enjoyment. That's Jubilee. You should, if I were you, I'd say, Lord, that's what I want. Isn't that what you want?
Amen.
I don't want meeting highs. I'm tired of that. If you grew up in the church life or as a Christian, I started going to retreats when I was 12. I got tired of that by the time I was 16. Meeting highs. And it's like a teaser. And I know many young people that they won't stand it. That's it. I'm done. As soon as I'm not forced to go, I'm out. I can't blame them. I don't want that, but I don't judge them or blame them. Because I experienced the same thing. That's not the Christian life. That's not Jubilee. I want Jubilee. Amen. Jubilee is our right. Amen. I hope you see this tonight. Jubilee is your right.
Amen.
The ram's horn has been blown and still blowing.
Amen.
Glorious freedom. See who we're up to. Sisters? Amen. Romans 2 altogether. Yeah, let's continue to A, brothers.
The New Testament age is an age of ecstasy, and a Christian is a person in ecstasy. If we have never been in ecstasy before God, it shows that we do not have the sufficient enjoyment of God.
Let's pay attention to this here. The New Testament age is an age of ecstasy. And a Christian is a person of ecstasy if we have never been in ecstasy before God. This shows that we do not have a sufficient enjoyment of God. The verse here is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 13. Could we open to that? Let's take a look at that. 2 Corinthians 5 13. Those who have it, let's read together. Please go.
For whether we are beside ourselves, it is one God. For whether we are sober-minded, it is for you.
So here it talks about being beside ourselves, but toward God. The next verse listed in the scripture reading is Acts 11:5. It says, I was in the city of Joppa praying. That was Peter, the experience I mentioned this morning in meeting one. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and I saw in a trance a vision. The Bible describes this as being in a trance. That is, to be in a state that you are so much in the Spirit, you are outside of yourself, and God is able to show you things. Don't think that that's an odd experience. Another verse there is Psalm 43:4. I'll read this to you. I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. To God my exceeding joy. Saints, is God your exceeding joy? Is he your exceeding joy? I'm not just asking, do you enjoy the Lord? We could enjoy, but we don't have him as our exceeding joy. Another verse, which I think we sang this verse earlier today. 1 Peter 1:8. whom having not seen you love, into whom, though not seeing him at present, yet believing, you exult with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Saints, that is Jubilee. But again, we're not trying to say you have to become a person that is all the time. No, that's fake. I do know a brother like that. Some of you know him too. Brother Dick Taylor. Some of you know Dick Taylor, right? Oh, Brother Dick Taylor. He used to speak, he's not able these days, but he used to speak in our conferences all the time. Everybody knows when you know, because the brothers usually take turns giving the messages, and when they see Brother Dick walk up to the podium, they think, oh, we're going to sing tonight. We're going to sing tonight. It's almost like, oh, okay, get ready. We're going to be standing up. We're going to be talking to each other. We're going to be singing. And because he's such a joyful person. He lives in Los Angeles. Anyway, Brother Dick, I've known him since I was 15 years old, Brother Dick. And since when? Since the year 1999. I was assigned to travel with him to Australia. So every year I would go to Australia for a week. And it was also with, some of you know, Brother James Lee. So the three of us would go. And usually, James's wife, Debbie, I know some of you know her, she also would go. So when we would go, they'd give us two rooms. James and Debbie, Dick and me. So I roomed with Brother Dick for a week. It was one of the highlights of my entire year. And you know what I found out? You know what I found out? I found out that what you see on the podium, that's how he is in real life. When you see on the podium, that's how he is in the bedroom. I never met a man like that before. He's just a joyful person in the Lord. In the Lord. He's just a joyful person. And it's not a put on. You can't trust what you see on the, you can't trust this, what you're seeing here. This is not a podium, but. But with him, you can trust that. Because it's the same. But I'm not saying now you gotta all act like Dick Taylor. Because it doesn't work. You can't sustain that. If you're not like that, you can't do that. I tried. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Couldn't last. Because that's not me. But you can enjoy Jubilee.
Amen.
You can enjoy God as your exceeding joy.
Amen.
Now, in this verse, in Corinthians, it says, before God, we should be beside ourselves.
Amen.
And then before man, quite sober. Hello. But when I'm with God, no restraints. So, have you had such an experience with God? Personally, where you are beside yourself, where you are free from every bondage. That is normal. Don't think that's a strange or high experience. And if you have not had, or have not had recently, it's time to go to the altar of God. God, your exceeding joy.
Amen.
Dear saints, we all should claim the Jubilee. Say, Lord, Lord, release me. Release me from anything and everything that binds me. I don't even know if I'm bound. I'm so bound, I don't know that I'm bound. I'm going to show you something in a moment where the Word shows us what it means to be bound. What it means to be bound. Saints, I hope we could all have the experience of the real ecstasy of having God as our joy. God as our joy. It's actually normal to have God as your joy. Now, The verses in the first point, it talks about Isaiah in the, Leviticus, it's first mentioned in Leviticus 25. And then Isaiah 61, I'd like us to read those three verses, verses 1, 2, and 3. In Isaiah, it's a prophecy. And then the Lord read that prophecy and proclaimed Jubilee in Luke 4. But let's read Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. Okay, let's read together. The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me, because Jehovah has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Saints, this is Jubilee. Good news to the afflicted. Verse 1. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. We mentioned something a little bit in this morning in the second session. Has your heart been wounded? Are there wounds? Disappointments? He can bind up those wounds. To proclaim liberty to the captives. I am concerned. So many here, you are really still in the early stage of your career. And so many of you, so capable, and your future is really bright professionally. Be careful. Just be careful not to be made captive to that. Do it. You should do it. The Lord gave you those gifts. The Lord bestowed you those gifts that others don't have for that area. Be the best. But be careful not to be bound, not to be enslaved. And how can you tell whether you are or not? Has to do with your joy in the Lord. You come to the meeting, and at first, you still enjoy. You still enjoy. But there's a little dampening. You know, sometimes the lights, you have a switch, but you could also have a dimmer. Puts the lights down. And you don't realize so much that it's a little dimmer. It's not, you're not shining as bright as you were 6 months ago. All the preoccupation with responsibility. And maybe now the Lord's blessing you and a little more money. And, you know, maybe you treat yourself to here and there. There's nothing wrong with that. A little bit here. You earned it. Be careful, though. Be careful. Starts with your heart. It ends up with your time. Eventually, your time will be more occupied. And you won't give as much time to the things of the Lord. At first, it'll be legitimate. Eventually, you just have no heart. Just be careful. Just be careful. It doesn't mean don't do it. You do it. You succeed. Even be the best, excel, but watch. The next phrase is very interesting to me. Did you notice this? And the opening of the eyes to those who are? Doesn't say blind. Did you notice that? You know, when Jesus reads it in Luke, he says, to open the eyes of the blind. But here it says, to the opening of the eyes to those who are bound. Why are you bound? Because you're blind. Because you don't see what's happening to you. Like my little testimony from this morning. Weeks and weeks. And then eventually, you know what happened there at the corner? At that corner? Down there by Wall Street? The Lord released me from that bondage. I had been bound because I didn't see what had been happening to my inner being. Then what? To proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Do you need to be comforted? We all pass through things. We all pass through things. To grant to those who mourn in Zion, oh, I love this, to give them a headdress instead of ashes. A headdress. It means something for your head. A headdress instead of ashes. You know, in the Old Testament, when you repent, some would put on sackcloth and heap ashes on themselves to show their repentance. The Lord says, enough of that. Enough of that. No more ashes. Get up. And lift up your head. So he could put a headdress. Recently, I told the saints, I was enjoying this verse. I think it's Psalm 3:3. You know what that verse says? The glory, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. My glory and the one, you are my glory and the one who lifts up my head. In the King James, that's how I learned it. It's my glory and the lifter of my head. That's the King James. My glory and the lifter of my head. Come here. Illustrate. You know, usually when you get down and discouraged, how does your head down like that? He did that on his own. That was very good. He's very experienced in this. Yeah. And then it says, the Lord is the one who what? Lifts up our head. And then the Lord puts a headdress. But if you're sad, oh, careful, your headdress may fall off. No, don't do that. Don't do that. He lifts up your head, and then he puts a headdress. It changes your expression. Thank you. Did the Lord ever to you? What's the verse we had this morning? Let your heart be encouraged. That's the Jubilee. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. And I love this. The mantle of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Saints, my feeling is, with too many of the dear saints, there's too much heaviness. Too much heaviness. Under the weight of so many things. Even the church life. Even the church life is heavy. It's too heavy. Too many things. Too many responsibilities. The Lord wants to substitute the spirit of heaviness with a mantle of praise. This training we had, was it the one before? A lesson on praise. No, sorry, it's a conference. We had in our recent conference. Prayer and praise. I hope we would practice more to praise. You know, to praise, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait to praise. To give thanks to the Lord, maybe you have to wait. You have to wait for Him to answer. But to praise, anytime. You can just praise. That's the Jubilee. Let's come back to the outline. I think we're at point B. Is this right? Roman 2b. Okay, let's read this together. Go.
Jubilee means having no worry or anxiety, no concern or care, no lack or shortage, no sickness or calamity, and no problems whatsoever.
Amen. You know, one thing I failed to mention this morning when I was talking about breathing out is anxiety. But in the testimonies, some of the saints brought that out. I thought I should have mentioned that. Oh, human life. Human life just breeds anxiety. Just breeds anxiety. And when you get married, have a family, or any responsibilities, just breeds anxiety. I can really sympathize. I know during this period of time, we have some saints over these last 2 months, quite a number of saints who are looking into corporate living, right? Corporate living. Brothers, sisters, they're all, you know, looking and all the things. Oh, what an opportunity for anxiety when you're looking for housing. When you're looking for housing. How about looking for housing in the Jubilee? That would be very good.
Amen.
With no worry or anxiety. No concern or care. No lack or shortage. Saints, to be in the Jubilee doesn't mean and is not dependent on our circumstances changing. Your current circumstances could remain the same, and you can be a person in the Jubilee.
Amen.
That's what we need. Let's read the next point. C. We must Amen. Well, I tell you, saints, if you have the experience of God as your joy and you have in your heart real freedom and rest, that becomes a testimony to everyone around us. Because the people around us, the people, our co-workers, their rest is dependent on their environment. But not with us. Not with us. You can have peace and rest. That is attracting to people. You know, many of our workplaces, in many of our workplaces, the environment, oh, it is so conducive to anxiety. And also, competition. Competition. You know, competitive people are not at peace and rest. Competitive people are always striving. And on one hand, you need to do that to succeed. But do you know that you can strive and do well, but be at full peace and rest? Oh, that's very attracting. People note that in you. People note that in you. That becomes a real kind of testimony. Let's read, 1, 2, and 3. Sisters, 1.
Brothers, 2.
If our heart is set
Here, I have to say a faithful word, especially to the young mothers. Please be careful. Please be careful that your children don't become your idol. It's actually very easy for that to happen. That your children become the center to the point where it is a detriment to your church life. I think right here, maybe it was 2 years ago, we heard a testimony. We heard a testimony of a sister who she was touched by something that we shared. And she came up to a microphone, I believe right here, and gave us this testimony that when she was raised, her parents and the other parents around them, the other sisters and brothers, the other families in the church, they would bring all their children to the prayer meeting. I don't know if some of you remember this testimony. They would bring all their children to the prayer meeting. And actually, I've been at that meeting hall. And it's in another place. I've been at that meeting hall. I pictured it. The saint, and she told us how the saints would be just maybe two rows of saints. And then in the corner, it was an old wooden meeting hall. And it got destroyed recently by a hurricane. But in the corner, there'd be blanket, 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 like 9 blankets, and all the children lying down, sleeping there. They trained them to sleep during the prayer meeting. That's a miracle. That's Jubilee. And then she was touched this way. That was not a suffering to her. She didn't end up all messed up because her parents were absolute and dragged the children to the prayer meeting. But I tell you, I think you would understand. I think you would not misunderstand. I don't say this with any critical spirit. I want you to be in Jubilee. That's my heart. But sometimes the atmosphere today in so many of the churches in North America, so careful about our children. Oh, but their rest. Oh, they need to sleep. I don't agree with you. I'm not criticizing. But I just want you to be in Jubilee. Just don't let the children be your bondage. Don't let the children be your bondage. You know, this was a kind of, we just learned this from as a pattern, the saints that were around us before. Many, many saints would babysit each other's children during the prayer meetings. So we would take our children to this couple, drop our kids off, and then one of the sisters goes to the prayer meeting. 2 husbands, 1 sister. Then the following week it was the opposite. Then she would go to the prayer meeting like this. But I found, we don't see this too much. Even I gave this testimony 2 or 3 times. I heard the sister say, "Oh, wow, that's a thought. Never had the concept." Somehow, we were not able to pass this on. Or it got lost somewhere. But as, not just here. I mean, all over North America, it seems like we've lost that kind of. And so, I hope you would not misunderstand. And I don't think you would misunderstand. My point is not this practice, that practice. My point is, I want you to be in Jubilee.
Amen.
Don't be bound. Take care of your children, but don't be bound inwardly by them. Surely you are restricted. Surely you're restricted. Now, with children comes restriction. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, where's your joy? And I know with the newborns, the mommies, it's hard. It's really hard. But that's a period of time. You get over that. They grow up. And I know there are exceptions with babies with ailments and problems. I know that too. But where's your joy? I hope you can still say, Lord, I'm in this situation, but I am in jubilee.
Amen.
Lord, be my exceeding joy.
Amen.
Don't let me be in bondage.
Amen.
To my job, to my children, to my career, to my family, to anything. Don't allow me to be in bondage. Point three, brothers. If
we allow Christ to live in us and we live by him, everything is to our satisfaction. Otherwise, everything is a problem and nothing is a jubilee.
Oh, saints, even the church life becomes a problem. Even the church life becomes too heavy when you don't have jubilee. Oh, I do hope we can enter into the experience of jubilee. D, all together.
Everything can be satisfying to us only after we have gained the all-inclusive Christ as our enjoyment. It is not outward persons and others for things, but Christ within us who enables us to be calm and free of worries as we face all kinds of situations.
Amen. Amen. I want to jump down to Romans 3, 1, 2, 3. It starts with, human life is nothing but labor. Let's read that together.
Human life is nothing but labor and sorrow, and will soon be gone. The true condition of human life is vanity of vanities, emptiness of emptiness, chasing after wind.
And I want to come back to this matter of career. You need to do the best under the Lord's leading. And many of you actually are really being blessed by the Lord at the beginning of your professional life. But I say again, be careful that you do not end up in a state where you are chasing the wind, where your heart becomes unset and you are just pursuing vanity. So many around us, that's all they know. That's all they know. They're pursuing vanity. And as we talked this morning, in our contact with people, we're eating. And it's very easy if we're with people like that every day, their impressions, their priorities get infused into us. And they are chasing the wind. It's very, very easy. After 6 months, we're doing the same thing. So we need to be on the alert. Let's dump down to B3. B3. God
has become our blessed portion.
Amen. 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 Oh, I do hope that we can be happy Christians.
Amen.
You know, there's a verse in the Old Testament that says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
Happy is that people. Saints, when we have this experience, we can be content in Christ with our circumstances. Our circumstances, our joy is not dependent on our circumstances. I hope that we can experience God as our exceeding joy.
Amen.
That's the experience of Jubilee. But how do you hear, like it says here, turn on the switch. How do you take Christ as your portion? This comes back to the second session this morning. I hope that we can all practice to develop our personal fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
I hope in those times, the Lord could shepherd us and he could be our joy. And for that, as we mentioned this morning, we need to unload. We need to unload. Saints, there's still probably many things in us, many things that clog that clog the flow within us. Some of us are like a slow-running drain. You know, in the sink sometimes, when you wash the dishes and some things get in there and the water slowly, and then you can see kind of film of grease along the, it's kind of yucky, grease along the edge. If you leave it, it goes down slow, slow. So there's still a flow. Don't be content with that kind of flow. I think we may need some spiritual, what is that called? Plunger. We need one of those. And sometimes it goes, didn't work. Worked just a little. Then you go again. And then, ah. I hope that would be your morning revival tomorrow morning. Then you're on the road to Jubilee. Amen. 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 Okay, how about we conclude like this? Let's go back to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Verses, just verse 3. No, 2 and 3. 2 and 3. Isaiah 61, verses 2 and 3. 2 and 3. Let's read them, and then let's pray over them. Let's pray over them corporately. And then we leave the rest of the time for your overflow and sharing. And please feel free to share anything, not only from tonight, but from the whole day. Let's try, if we keep our sharing to about a minute each, we can probably have about 20 or 25 saints to share. So let's read Isaiah 61, verses 2 and 3, and then let's spend some time to pray over these two verses.
Amen?
Amen? And then please feel free to share. Let's read.
To proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give to them a head dress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the treasures of righteousness, the planting of Jehovah, that he may be glorified.
Amen.
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 Terebinth of righteousness.
Terebinth of righteousness.